The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Say it, Allison.
No.
I put you on the spot. The bunny would say it if she could.
She would say it.
Welcome to Strange Familiars, in the house of the noisy bunnies, every time when we go to record.
She was quiet, and she was eating peacefully, and she was sleeping before that, and now she's going to pull at her enclosure to make as much noise as possible.
Mm-hmm. So if you hear little noises in the background, that's the bunny. Just imagine a cute little bunny, and then you won't be so mad about it. On tonight's show, I will be talking with Chris, who has these non-abduction visitors. It sounds like it's going to be an abduction account, but like I've said about mine, he says he really feels like he never left his bed. He also has a really compelling Flannel Man story, this ghost thing in Colorado, and more. We'll get to Chris in just a moment.
I used to play Bedroom Invaders on the tabletop model at the pizza place.
I think that was Space Invaders.
Oh, okay.
If you like the content we make at Strange Familiars and you'd like to get more and help us continue to make the podcast besides, you can become a patron at Patreon. It's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. There's different tiers of support there. You can choose things like t-shirts or copies of my books and more as rewards. But no matter which tier you choose, all of our patrons get 2 full episodes of Strange Familiars every month. This month, Allison, The next patron show. First patron show for September is the 100th patron episode.
That's a round number.
that is a round number. We'll try to do something. I've got a plan for it. Kind of special, I think.
You like a full circle moment.
So yeah.
That's kind of going to be something full circle-ish.
Kind of what I'm aiming for. But if you sign up as a patron, you get those 100 episodes whenever that one comes out. Until then, 99. It's a lot to binge immediately. And then we're adding 2 more every month. You can find that at Patreon. Patreon.com/strangefamiliars. And of course, we want to thank all of our patrons for their support. Thank you so much. Without you, we could not make Strange Familiars. All right, let's go ahead and get into this interview with Chris. Tonight, we're talking with Chris, who has some experiences he'd like to share with us, including, I think you phrased it kind of like I did, like a kind of an abduction, but you don't feel you ever left your room, which I completely understand. Maybe we'll get into some other stuff besides, including a maybe Flannel Man thing, which I'm excited about. How you doing tonight, Chris?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
So let's start with this, you know, this maybe abduction stuff, because I think you told me in your email that it started when you were really young, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was, oh, God. I mean, I'm talking maybe 5, 6 years old, the earliest memories. I have a memory before that, but yeah. So when I was a kid, I had a bedroom, me and my brother, and it was 2 twin beds, and there was a, you know, window in the middle. My mom would go out at night. She liked the bowl, you know, she had the bowling leagues. So she would go out twice a week and go bowling. And then I always know when she would come home, because she would pull in the backyard, down the driveway, back around, and I would see her headlights, you know, flashing in my window. And I'd look out and I'd be like, oh, yeah, mom's home. Cool. You know, and I'd go back to bed. So one night, normal night, was what I thought. I was in bed and I saw the lights in the window. And I think I said blinds in the email, but it's actually the old school shade, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I pulled up the shade, and it wasn't my mom's car. It was just tremendous bright light, like blinded me. And instantly, like, it was just like this fear came upon me, you know? And I just jumped back in my bed and pulled the covers over my head and went to sleep. So that happened, and I was like, okay. And then the next day I woke up, and, you know, nothing. I didn't say anything to anyone or did anything. And so the following night, it wasn't the same thing. It was this thumping sound on the floor, and it was like this boom, 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 boom. And it came, and it got louder and louder and louder. You know, I was a little kid, so I was scared, and I was like, I couldn't figure out what it was. And the next thing was, is there was these 3 people standing around my bed, 2 men and a woman. Like, that night, I don't really remember what happened at that point. Like, mm-hmm. It wasn't like, you know, they did experiments or whatever, you know, or scientists or anything like that. I don't remember anything. And I just remember falling asleep again and waking up the next morning. What I do remember was every night was that thumping sound, the boom, boom. I mean, it was like someone was hammering the floor with a hammer, you know? And I shared a room with my brother. He never woke up. He never heard a thing, you know? And I would hear it, and I just kept waking up, and I would see these people again, and they were always the same. And it was, what's weird is the whole thing, the whole point was when I never thought of this. This is 40 years ago, 45 years ago. I never really thought what it was, because it wasn't the typical alien abduction. I didn't go flying in a spaceship. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't know what it was, but I knew that when that thumping came, I had this fear that just paralyzed me.
Wow.
And I did have sleep paralysis
associated with these events, or separate from these events, or both?
Both.
Okay.
Both. Every time I heard that thump, that pounding, I was paralyzed. I could not move. I was on my back every time, and I just couldn't move. And I would wake up, and I would see these people kind of, well, like I always say, they were standing above me, but they were like, all I would see was like from their torsos up, like they looked like full grown people.
Mm-hmm.
But I, like, my bed didn't, like, it was like the, you know, a little toddler bed, didn't have a box spring or anything. So it was like, you know, knee high to the ground, you know?
Right.
And that's about how tall they were, you know, but it was only their torsos, but they were full grown people. And the 2 men looked exactly alike. They were like twins. And the woman looked like a, you know, she looked like a woman. And I don't want to, I'm losing myself here, but I don't know what they did, but they were just there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were always next to my bed. So I wrote to you in the email. At one point was I had this experience where I had sleep paralysis. They were next to my bed. The 2 men on one side, the woman on the other. And I had an out-of-body experience where I could see me in my bed with those people around me.
Wow.
And they didn't know. I don't think they knew that I was above them looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when, like, when I heard your experiences, this just blew my mind, because I've never in my life have I ever heard anyone say this. I've been following, you know, paranormal stuff and aliens and abductions, and everyone gets, you know, flown away and this and that, and, you know, all the way back to, you know, Betty and what's his name?
Barney Hill, yeah.
And, Barney Hill, right. And I'm like, no, that never happened. I didn't leave my bed. And then when I found your podcast through Sasquatch Chronicles, because you were on that, and then they said, do this, do that. And whenever I do a podcast, I'm like, I'm going to go to day one, and I'm going to listen all the way through. So I'm like, you know, I'm probably 2 years behind your future, you right now, where you're at, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm at like 140, maybe, you know?
Right, right.
So I'm like, okay, so I don't know if you've debunked all this stuff or not.
No, but. No, and I still talk about it the same way. Every time I mention it, I say, I call it an abduction experience as a shorthand so people kind of understand what I'm talking about, but I always say I don't think I ever left my bed.
Yeah.
There's one instance where I woke up in a desert, but then I was right back in my bed. So that one might have been an out-of-body thing or a dream thing or something. But for the most part, like all the other ones, I'm very sure I never left my bed.
Right.
Yeah. So.
See, I know I never did.
Mm-hmm.
I know it. I know I never did. I don't have any, like, memory of anything. Like, you know, like, I know that was my thing. Like, I was like, so I never thought, is this real? Is this something? Or am I imagining this? Is this, like, a weird thing that happened in my life? So when I heard your podcast for the first time, and you even said, I'm still at the point where you said, like, you got confirmation you were in a podcast with the guy Mike McClellan, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for me, all I know is me, you, and that guy are the only three people on earth that had the same experience.
I think I've heard, like, maybe one or two other people say it like that. Yeah, like, I don't think I ever left my bed. But, yeah, and I don't know what that is. I don't know if people... You know, it became such a thing, like, in the 90s, you know, the alien abduction thing, that
yeah.
I don't know if...
Well, this was 1978.
Right, right, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and mine started happening before I ever knew what that was, you know? So, you know, I don't feel like I was influenced by that, but, yeah, I don't know if people are influenced by the story they've heard, or, you know, maybe their experiences really are getting taken away and something. I don't doubt them if they say that's what their experience is. When you saw these people, were they always dressed the same every time?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that when I saw them, I only maybe saw them like three or four times. So it happened, I'm going to say dozens and dozens of times. But I think that I would always, well, this is the thing, I would always close my eyes and pull the covers over my head.
Mm.
But when I saw them, yes, I always had the same clothes on. And they, you know, you're going to laugh. You know, if I remember, they had like a normal, like, we're not going to say flannel, could get into the flannel man yet. But like, it was like a flannel, like a dark, you know, like a brown button-down shirt. But the two men were identical.
Did they ever move that you remember?
No.
No.
No. I just remember them sitting there. And see, the most prominent memory I have is the memory when I'm out of body
mm-hmm.
and I'm looking down at myself, and they were just kind of there, almost like if you were to look at like two priests praying over you
mm-hmm.
and they were just kind of leaning over, and all I saw was like their hands were inside their chest, you know? I don't remember them doing anything to me or being mean to me or saying anything to me at the time. Like I said, I was so young and I was so scared that I didn't have like the time to say, hey, leave me alone, or, you know.
Right. Did you ever mention this to your mom or to your brother or anybody?
I mentioned to my mother once about the pounding.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me, well, you live in PA, right? So you have the radiators under the windows, the big giant radiators.
Oh, yeah, still got them in this house. Yeah.
Yeah, so my mom told me it was like some kind of air backup, and that's what she told me. Mm-hmm. Like that's what, because I never heard that in my life ever. But she said, oh yeah, you know, it'll pound and, you know, make that noise, and that's what her excuse always was.
Well, not the same time every night, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, right, exactly.
Like in the farmhouse, we would get air in the pipe sometimes, and they will bang, but it's not the same time every night, and it kind of
and the same rhythm.
Yeah, it tends to keep happening too, like until you take care of it.
Even as a little child, like I remember, like, okay, she doesn't get it, you know, like I remember, like, okay, she's not gonna understand what I'm saying, or right. She knows what I'm saying and she's gonna lie to me,
right? Yeah, she might have just been saying something to calm you down, like, oh, don't worry, yeah, you know, it's just this. Yeah.
And the thing is like I said, like I never left my bed. I know that. And that's when I heard when you were talking about it, and I was like, yeah, no, the same thing happened. But the thing was, is that I have three distinct memories. I have the memory of seeing the bright light out the window. The next night, I remember them standing over me. And then the third night was me being above them. Mm-hmm. But then after that was just the sound, that boom, boom, boom. And I knew they were coming.
Wow.
I don't have any memory, anything. All I remember was I pull the covers over my head and go to sleep. And I slept with the covers over my head till I was 18 years old.
Oh, wow.
I mean, my mother literally told me, she's like, I'm worried that you're going to like suffocate, you know, with the covers over your head. It was a kind of a joke. Mm-hmm. And which is weird is about 3 weeks ago, my girlfriend, we don't live together, but we, you know, we spend weekends together and stuff. She said, when I don't remember this, and she said that you sleep in with covers over your head.
Huh.
Which is kind of weird is that I've been getting back into this paranormal stuff. Because a lot of stuff has happened, other stuff has happened in my life, but, you know, I just kind of blew it off forever. And now I'm starting to have, which I should have mentioned before, I had a lot of nightmares when I was a kid. And I'm starting to have nightmares again. Mm-hmm. And for me to put the covers over, like, I would put them on, dude, I'd put them over and, like, tuck them under my head so that it was tight, you know,
right,
like.
Right.
No one's coming in. You know what I'm saying? She said I did that. I don't remember doing that. Oh, she's with me.
But I came in and I was like, why are you pulling the covers over your head? Like, what's up? And he had no idea.
Huh. Yeah, so that's another thing. But other than the non-abduction stuff, nothing's ever happened since. And all I remember is that pounding. And I know it happens. I mean, night after night after night, but I don't remember seeing or hearing, you know, other than that, and I'd just be afraid, and I remember saying to myself, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming. That's right. All I remember.
Right. Before we leave this topic, you kind of started talking about the way they were dressed a little bit, and you said you didn't want to get into the flannel man thing. You said they had brown shirts, but were they, like, check pattern?
Yeah, they were.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
But they weren't, they were brown, like a brown and tan.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they definitely were.
And do you remember what the woman was wearing?
No. All I remember is she had long blonde hair.
But somewhat normal clothes. Nothing stood out to you as anything like outrageous?
No, no. Nothing that they were like aliens or...
Like spacesuits or anything like that, yeah.
No, normal clothes. She might have had a dress on or something. If, you know, like... The thing is, they didn't scare me. They didn't scare me when they were there. Like, looking at them, it wasn't a horrible thing. It was more like the fact that, why were they there?
Right.
You know, I don't know if I can express, like, when I heard that pounding, the fear that I had, the paralyzing fear that turned into sleep paralysis is probably worse.
Yeah, I think that would almost be worse than just them popping up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what really, really drove me crazy. know, I'd play all day or whatever, summertime. And like I said, my mom said it was like the radiator. And I'm like, Mom, it's summertime.
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
There's no reason. Right. The heat's not on. There's no reason for this pounding to be coming on.
Exactly. Yeah. And, yeah, if the heat's not on, it's not going to happen.
But Tim, I'm telling you, man, that first pound, I was like frozen in fear. Mm. And then I don't know if I was asleep or awake. And then it was that full blown, can't move, I can't do anything. And I don't remember anything after that.
Wow.
And this went on for every night for 6 months at a time.
Wow. That's a lot. As you got older.
Like I said, you're literally the third person that I've told this story to ever in my life.
As you got older, I know you said you kept sleeping under the covers, but did the pounding just kind of stop one day? Or?
Yes, it did. It did stop. It did stop. But, you know, you grow up, you're 15, 16, 17 year old, you're not afraid of anything, right?
Right.
Well, I still went to bed, and those covers were tucked behind my head as tight as they could be, because I didn't know, because I was still living in that same house. Mm-hmm. And as far as I know, it never came back. And I don't know when it ended, but the way I slept until literally and I went to college.
Wow. The out-of-body thing, too. I mean, I've heard a number of these things where people would, you know, different things would come into their room, whether it be Flannel Man or you know, Grays, whatever it is, and people are outside of their body looking at themselves, you know.
Yeah.
So definitely heard that before, too.
That was that's really, really what I wanted to talk to you about, because I hadn't heard that. You know, like I said, I'm 200 episodes behind you right now because I just found your podcast. So mm-hmm. I always start from number one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm catching up. And now I'm on Patreon, so now I'm catching up on those too.
You know, Chad, my buddy, investigation partner, had one where he saw this hag-like woman come into his room. He was outside of his body, standing next to his bed, and he's watching her reach over and try to touch him. And he goes back into his body and suddenly wakes up. But yeah, he wasn't too happy about that.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Like I was, like I said, I was 5 or 6 years old, so I didn't know any better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like I didn't know like you tell, what do you call them? Scream?
Screen memories. Yeah.
Screen memories. So like, I didn't know any better. I couldn't have a screen memory because I don't know, you know, as when I was 5 or 6 years old, I never saw a gray before. I didn't know.
Right. Well, it wasn't neither that nor sleep paralysis was really part of anything anybody talked about back then. I don't, even when I first started getting sleep paralysis, I didn't know what it was. And I was in college, you know, no one talked about it. This was like 88, 89, something like that, maybe 1990. Like I never heard about sleep paralysis before. I didn't know what the heck was happening to me, and I can't imagine how much scarier it would be as a kid. You know that,
yeah.
As a little kid, I could barely take it when I was 18.
When you said like you told them no, and you like threw a punch and all that, like I wish I could have done that.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't. Besides being really scared, I never felt like they were doing something bad to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but at the same time, I don't know because I was a kid because, you know, your parents said, oh, you know, you're going to do this and do that. So I don't know.
Oh, there's a lot of I don't knows around this stuff, unfortunately. But it's super fascinating. Super fascinating.
I just wanted to know if anyone had this out-of-body experience looking down.
I think there might be one other one on the show. And, I've done 330 plus episodes now, so I cannot tell you what show that was, but I feel like there was one other person who did have that, so you might run into it as you're listening through.
Okay, all right. No, that's cool. Like I said, I'm catching up, and all I do now, I work now, and I do construction, so all I could do is listen to podcasts, and now it's just Strange Familiars all day long.
Oh, man. Well, that's awesome. I'm glad I can – hopefully I make the time go by quickly.
Oh, you do, man.
Good.
But you know what it is all you do is make more memories come up is actually what you do.
Mm.
I got a ton of stuff. So the earliest thing I remember, which is – is what if we were going to do chronologically before this, when I was even younger than the alien thing, I guess if I was six, then I was five or four. And I remember my mom used to get up really early in the morning and go to work, right? Mm-hmm. And the one thing was that I would wake up and I would smell the coffee because she would make coffee. And so I would know mom was up, and I would hear the cabinets kind of like, you know, she's getting her sugar out and she closed the cabinet. And I would go downstairs and I would be the first one to see her. One morning, I smelt the coffee. I heard the cabinet open and closing. So you come down, so on the second floor, and you come down the stairs. You make a right, there's a little hallway, and you're in the kitchen. And I walk into the kitchen, and the light's on, and there's nobody there. And all of a sudden, every cabinet, every drawer was opening and closing and slamming as hard as they could. Bam, wow. Bam, bam. Open and closing, man. And I'm telling you, like, you know when the silverware is in the drawer and you can close it and hear the silverware shaking?
Sure, yeah.
Same thing, man. As hard as it could, man. Slam every drawer, every cabinet up high, every cabinet down low. The light was going on and off. And, I mean, I'm talking, I might have been as young as I had a diaper on. I mean, I was... And I sat there in the middle of this, and it turned into like a horror movie where you would the camera would spin around because it was that scary in slow motion with a 180 lens. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And I just ran out of there, and I just ran right back upstairs. Well, like all these things that happened to me, I ran right back upstairs and fell right back to sleep.
I don't know why that is. After any of this stuff, like after my thing, you know, I talk about, I fell right back asleep. Well, that makes zero sense. All these Sasquatch encounters you hear about, people talk, you know, they're staring in their window, they fall right back to sleep, or they're, you know, outside their tent, somehow I fell asleep. How does that happen? Like, that's just, it doesn't make any sense. So nobody else in the house heard the cabinets banging or anything?
No.
Not
no.
unusual.
Well, that was just like the same thing with that slamming when I knew that the people were coming to get me.
Mm-hmm.
My brother was 5 feet away from me, and he never heard. I mean, this was as loud. I mean, this is loud as slamming a hammer on the floor.
Right, right.
And nobody heard that, and nobody heard this. And I remember, like I said, I asked my mother. I said, "Did you hear that?" "Oh no," she said. "Oh, it's just the pipes," you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But no, yeah, nobody heard, and nobody heard this. And I'm telling you, man, this was full blown. There had to have been, you know, five drawers and 15 cabinets slamming at the same time.
Jeez.
All at not at the same time, but all different. All
right.
Like a rhythm.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And oh my God, it was terrifying. That was more terrifying than the other thing.
Yeah, I can imagine. Heck yeah.
But I'm telling you, I smelt that coffee brewing and the whole thing. And the light was on in the kitchen, and it wouldn't have been on if my mom wasn't down there.
Right.
And I walked down, and I was like, oh, man, that was the most probably terrifying thing that ever happened in my life.
Yeah. Wow.
Those are really, in that house, those are the most two scary things I've been through. There's been other things.
Bring it on.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, the other thing in that house about when I was a kid in New York was, I don't know if this means anything. There was this weird thing in the basement. We had a basement. If you picture it, it's like a C, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you walk down the stairs, there's one room, there's a hallway, and there's another room, right? And if you go down that one hallway, there's the freezer where we kept, like, you know, like you'd stock up on the meat and stuff.
Sure, yeah.
But the only way to get down that hallway was you had to pull that, you know, that light, that, you know, the old lights when you had to pull the string?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was dark. So you could get to the first room from the light upstairs, but you had to get into that hall room. You had to pull that light. And then you had to go past that light to get to the freezer. And every time, man, that light never worked. And mom would be like, go down and get, you know, get a pound of hamburger or go get a steak, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to that light, man, it wouldn't work. But you had, because, you know, if you didn't get that meat, mom would be pissed.
That's,
you know?
Right. Yeah. Got
to
get it.
So you would run to that freezer and you'd get it, man. But I'm telling you, as you were leaving, there was this feeling, and it was like a creepy chill on your back that someone was right behind you, man. And if you didn't get out of there and get to that light, nothing was going to be okay, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. That's just a creepy thing.
I grew up in a farmhouse, and there was one bathroom for 8 people in this house. And it was,
oh, yeah, we had the same one. We had one for 6.
It was way down. You had to, it's the same kind of layout, so I had to come all the way down the stairs, through a hallway, past the scary-ass basement door, into the kitchen, into the laundry room. The bathroom was finally on the other side of the laundry room. And my dad was a cheapskate, and God forbid you lift a light on, you know, so there's no lights are on. So, you know, you're just a little kid. I had to go down, and, you know, he said, you can turn every light you want on the way down, but you got to turn them all off on your way back. You're going to get in trouble, right? So if you have to use the bathroom at night, man, it was an ordeal, right?
Oh, that was a nightmare.
Turning every light on as I go, but then you got to turn them off as you go out. Now, like, the kitchen light's on the other side of the kitchen. So, A, when you have to turn on, you got to go through the dark kitchen and turn on. B, when you turn it off, you got to turn off and then walk through the dark kitchen. There's no light in the hallway. The hallway is dark at that point. You got nothing till the basically the top of the stairs at that point. It's all dark. And that was a very similar thing for me. I just remember every time getting through that hallway, past that basement door, it's just dead dark. There was nothing. There's no kind of nightlight or anything. You know, and yeah. I knew I'd get in trouble if I left the light on. So, you know, it was the same kind of feeling, just like, oh, just let me get out of here. There was something creepy there. So,
yeah. And you wonder, like, is that a thing just because you're afraid of the dark, or is that like a thing that's for real?
Yeah. I mean, later in life when I had the other stuff going on in college, I did kind of see something there that did kind of confirm to me that something was going on.
Yeah. I haven't gone back to confirm myself. I wish that I dealt with my stuff when I was in college. I might have dealt with it better, but maybe I feel luckier that I went through the same thing you went through as a child, because I didn't have an explanation. I didn't fight back because I didn't know how to fight back.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, you woke up swinging. Like, I was like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I was just like, I'm just happy to be awake and, you know, going to the lake and going fishing. You know?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
The last thing was, I know you're going to ask me this later, but I'll save that about black dogs. But there's this one thing. This is, now I'm older and I'm working. Now I'm doing the same thing I do now. I do painting and drywall. And we got this job up, this mansion, and it was like 15 bedrooms and 17 bathrooms, but it was built in like the 20s. Without giving my location, is a roaring 20s on the, we'll call it the Gold Coast. And if anyone knows what the Gold Coast means, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So we're working on this job for, you know, these people bought it and they lived in California, and we could just go there and work whenever we wanted. I had to work on covering the floors on the inside of the house, and they had this grand stairway. I mean, you know, that the one that, like, it's huge at the bottom. It's probably 10 feet across, and then it turns and it gets smaller and smaller.
Yeah, yeah.
And it goes up to the second floor, if you can imagine that, in an old house, right? So I have to cover all this stuff with this real heavy cardboard, because we're going to start like ripping the plaster out of the wall, so it can't, we're going to keep the floors nice. So I'm there, and it was always, this house was there, we had like 3 years to finish this job. And so, you know, if you had a couple extra hours, you want to make some overtime, you could go to the mansion. So this was a Thursday night, and I was like, yeah, you know what, I gotta make some extra money, I'm gonna go. So I just go, and I'm covering the floors. And I swear, I'm hearing, like, there's people upstairs. You know, not really footsteps, but I'm, like, hearing something. And I know I'm by there by myself. And I don't have, like, earphones in. This is, you know, in the 1990s, you know. And, you know, if anything, I would have the radio plugged into the wall, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't have anything. And, of course, the thunderstorm rolls in. it's right on the beach, you know. And it's just thunder and lightning, and it's dark, and it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's dark as night, you know, because the storm rolled in, and it's thunder and lightning, and I'm hearing this chatter and this talking, and then I hear these footsteps. I'm like, okay, what was that? And I'm there by myself. There's no one in the place. And I'm like, okay. And they're distinct boot steps, you know, to the point where they're coming, where I'm working my way up the stairs, covering the stairs, because there's these beautiful mahogany stairs, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm working my way up, and this guy's kind of coming towards me slow, with a point where it was fast, and he started running. Mm-hmm. And he was like, coming down these stairs, to the point where I was like, he was 2 feet away from me, man. I turned out, I ran out that door. I didn't lock it. I didn't shut it. And I got in my car and I drove home.
Oh, man.
I was like, and I called the boss and I was like, I'm never going back there again. And he's like, what happened? I'm like, no, nothing. I'm never going back there again.
Wow.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
I was hearing the podcast earlier when you were saying about the souls of people, where you're not sure, like, if we communicate with the souls of dead people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I felt like, to me, that was a dead person, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I did want to tell you this story. Is it now? All right. Now, so now I'm living in Colorado. So the first night that I move into this place... So a friend of mine, he was living out there. He was living with a bunch of dudes in this house. And he broke up with his girlfriend. And he was like, listen, can you come and just pay the rest of my rent, you know, for the lease of the rest of the time? And, you know, I'm going to leave because, you know, I don't want to be here anymore. And I was like, yeah, sure. If we go to Colorado, it'd be great, you know. I had nothing to do. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yeah. So I went out there. And so the first night, all I got is, you know, a backpack, a sleeping bag, and my guitar. You know, like, I don't know nothing. So I get out there, and I'm sleeping, and he's got this really cool balcony. So it's like a townhome, and it's like 5 stories high. And he's got the top floor of the townhome. So you had to pay a little extra rent to live up there.
Mm-hmm.
So you got, you know, about maybe, I don't know, 300-400 square feet. And you have your private balcony, and it's looking west, and you can see if you've ever been to Boulder, you can see the front range. So I was like, this is awesome, you know? So I just happened to, you know, laid my sleeping bag out right by this door by the balcony, and I wake up in the middle of the night, and the door has hit me in the head. And I was like, dude, what the heck, man? What's up with that door? And he's like, what are you talking about? And it was like, I'm sleeping all night, and this door kept opening and hit me in the head, and I would shut it. And I just thought it was like a bad breeze or something, you know? So then he moves out, and it's just me living there. So it was big enough that I had like my bed, and I had a little chair that I would read in, and I would look out, you know, when I'd go on the balcony, or I'd sit inside, and I could see, you know, the door of the balcony, and I would literally see the door open. I'd see the doorknob turn, and the door would open.
Ooh, wow.
I was like, okay, that's freaky. And I would go and I would close it. And then literally, it would be like another, I'd be sitting there reading again another 20 minutes. And I would look, I'd hear it go, ch-ch-ch-ch. And I would hear it. And I would, and the doorknob would literally turn and the door would open.
Wow.
And I was like, okay. So this was going on now. And I, you know, it never like, it was never a bad feeling. It was just like, okay, It was more annoying because when the winter came, it's cold in Colorado, and you know, and the door can't be open all night.
Right. You know? Right.
So this kept going on, and I would shut the door, and this went on for literally about 6 months, and I would just kept shutting the door, shutting the door, shutting the door. And then one day I was downstairs talking to the neighbor. Out of nowhere, the neighbor was like, "Hey, you know what happened up there?" And I was like, and I've talked to this neighbor like 100 times, you know? And I was like, "What do you mean what happened up there? You know, I've known you for a year now. What are you talking about?" And they were like, "Well, that dude committed suicide. He jumped off your balcony and died."
Oh, wow.
That was when, like I said, I'm 200 podcasts behind you. But you were like, I don't know if the souls are the souls of dead people, but that one I believe, man.
Yeah, because... I mean, I've sort of shifted, and I think, you know, I think sometimes they are, you know. I mean, and it really, who knows? Like, I don't know. I don't know. But,
yeah. I'm not calling you out. Trust me.
Yeah, nobody knows. But, yeah, I've grown more amenable to that idea.
But the craziest thing is that as soon as this woman told me this, and I went back upstairs, it never happened again.
Oh, that's interesting. Did you ask your friend, did it happen when he was there?
He said no.
Huh.
Yeah, when I moved, because I literally told him, I was like, what is going on with this? He kept saying, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Wow.
And he moved out, and he said nothing ever happened. So it was when I moved in that this started happening.
Wow.
And he was like, I don't know. And he, like, you know, basically told me I was crazy. And I'm telling you, man, I saw that doorknob open. And like I said, when and out of nowhere, this neighbor was like, oh, yeah, it was a couple of years ago. And this guy, blah, 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 and he jumped off the balcony. It was like 50 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how high it was. Yeah, he killed himself. But as soon as she told me that story, it never happened again.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Like, so I was like, why did he want me to know that? Like,
right, yeah. And I guess my other question would be, did your friend, when he was living there, did he know that? Is that why it wasn't happening to him? Like, did they tell him that when he moved in or something?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think he knew. I don't think anyone knew.
Never knew. Huh. Yeah.
You know, I think it was just a thing that, because it was one of those things where people move in and out all the time. It was, you know,
right.
It was Boulder, Colorado. So it's like college town.
Mm-hmm.
People move in and out. Who knows, you know. Stuff happens, you know.
Right, right.
You know, every 6 months, people would change in their address, you know.
Yeah, sure.
But it was just another thing that I thought about now that I haven't thought about in, you know, that was in 19, well, we'll go back to Flannel Man. It was 1998, 96, around there. You want to hear that one?
I definitely want to hear Flannel Man, yes.
Because I'm still wondering if you're doing the Flannel Man thing.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to all catch right. it. That's my Pokemon. I got to catch them all.
So it snowed. I was living in Colorado. It snowed the night before. It snowed about 6 foot of powder, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was in February. And I love snowshoeing. So I was like, I'm going snowshoeing. I'm going to go find, you know, somewhere to go. So I got up in the morning. I borrowed my buddy's car. And I left in the morning, and I drove up. I can't even remember. I couldn't even tell you where. You know, there's all these different, like, passes that you can go up into, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go, and it's open land, you know. So I went snowshoeing for, you know, a bunch of hours. And I was coming back home and coming down from about, I'm going to say, about 10,000 feet back down into around 6,000 feet. You know, it's switchbacks, but they're roads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're about maybe a quarter mile switchbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know you know what a switchback is. So on your left is a cliff, and on your right is a cliff going up high, right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
So I'm driving down this road, and it's during the week in the middle of nowhere because I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't working. And there's this dude walking in the road. Like, I was in the middle of nowhere. So if there's someone walking down these switchback roads, you know, they're in trouble.
Right.
So I pull over. He wasn't hitchhiking. He wasn't doing nothing. He was just walking down the road. And I pull up next to him. And the next thing I remember, well, I do remember, he's got, you know, the blue puffy down jackets?
Yeah.
Right? So that's what he's wearing. He's got a hat on. all I can see is his back, because his back's to me as I'm driving down the switchback. So I pull up, and I was, what the hell are you doing out here, man? But I didn't say anything to him. The next thing I remember is he's sitting in my car. He's got his blue down jacket across his lap, and he's got a flannel shirt on.
Well, wait a minute. So you don't remember him actually, like, opening the door or, like...
Nope. No.
Wow.
But what he says was, as I remember him sitting with his blue jacket across his waist, was he says, thanks for the ride. But I don't remember him opening the door.
Wow.
And I don't even remember, like to the point, like, all I remember is slowing down and being like, this dude is in trouble.
Right.
Right? Because, you know, that's what the neighborly thing to do is. So the next thing, literally, I look over and he's in my car. And he's got his thing, his blue down jacket across his lap, and he's got a flannel shirt on. He's got his hat on, and he's looking forward, and he never says one word to me. He says, thanks for the ride, and then I drive, and he never looks at me. He's looking forward the whole time. He never says one word, and I thought this guy was going to kill me. Like, I thought this was a serial killer, to be honest with you. And now I'm driving down these switchbacks, and it's on your left is a straight cliff. On your right is a cliff going up the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, this is fine, after I drove him about 3-4 miles. So then he gets out of the car, and the one thing was, so I don't know about this with Flannel Man, he hands me a pencil.
Hmm.
And he says, and I mean, this is a number 2 pencil, I mean, sharpened to perfection. And he says, here, this is my favorite pencil. And he walks out the door, and I'm looking at the pencil, and I'm talking 2 seconds. I look in the rearview mirror, I look in the sideview mirror, the dude's gone.
Wow.
And there is nowhere for him to go.
Wow.
Because there was a cliff on one side and a cliff on the other side. To let you out at this point, I was if it was a normal person, I would have been like, no, you're going to die.
What, right,
what?
Yeah.
What
yes.
are you,
it's crazy.
What are you doing? Yeah. But dude, he never looked at me. I never saw his face, dude. He looked forward the whole time. But I'm telling you,
wow.
I had that physical pencil. I wish I still had it.
I was going to ask if you still had it. Oh,
yeah, I wish I did, because I kind of blew it off, because you know what it was? I thought it was like this crazy mountain man.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, at the time I was like, oh yeah, you know, whatever. But dude, he had on the hat, black and red plaid,
the
blue jeans, the boots, everything.
Wow. Oh man.
Everything.
Amazing. Oh, it's creepy.
Everything.
And yeah. And those are my, I love all the Flannel Man stories, but those are my favorite ones. The ones that like happen when people are 100% awake, you know, they weren't dreaming and waking up and he's just in the house or anything. They're, you know,
oh, yeah.
They're out doing something and then they just run into this weird guy, you know, something weird about him and he's wearing flannel. Oh man, that's a great one.
This really happened. And I was just like, well, the thing was, is what was amazing was that he took his jacket off.
Mm hmm.
When he got in the car.
Right, right.
And he had the flannel.
Yeah, but you not remembering, like, you didn't even get a chance to ask him if he wanted a ride, right?
Nope.
Suddenly he's there.
Like, my intention was, are you okay?
Right, right.
But the next thing was, is he's in my car.
Wow. Wow. And the pencil was physical, just like regular pencil.
Oh, yeah, I had it. I had it. You know what? I don't know if I had it when I got home, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was so freaked out. Because I really thought the guy was going to kill me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's what I thought. Like, I was like, okay, I just totally, like, picked the wrong dude.
Right, right. Wow.
And it was such a weird thing that he was like, this is my favorite pencil. And that's all he said to me the whole time.
Yeah, that is so weird.
And so I was like, all right, just get out of my car. Bye. But at the same time, like, I mean, I looked at that pencil and I looked at my, and he was gone, man.
Wow.
And there was nowhere to go.
Amazing.
There was nowhere to go.
That's amazing.
You know switchbacks and hiking, right?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
So imagine switchbacks on a road.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Like, you can't go anywhere.
Right, yeah. And why the hell anybody would try to walk down that? Like, especially in those conditions, you're taking your life in your own hands.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, that's great. So, okay, you skipped over the black dogs because that's, you know, when I'm talk flannel man, I ask about black dogs. So you got to tell me that.
Yeah. Now. Well, see, this is a black dog story that is physical black dogs.
Okay.
So one day, so now I'm back. I don't even know what year it is. And we're going probably back in time now. I don't know where I am in life. But I'm living at my mom and dad's house. And I got a pickup truck, and I was out at the bar, and I'm driving home, and I pull in the driveway, and I get out of my car, and there's these three black pit bulls. And you Google black pit bulls, man, they're the evilest things you'll ever see in your life. They were growling and snarling at me. Mm. And I know all my mom's neighbors. Nobody has pit bulls. Nobody. And there's three of them in the driveway. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, you know, and I'm kind of cool with animals. Like, you know, I can, I'm like, yeah, all right, calm down, cool. And then these things, no, they were going to come and get me, man. I jumped in the back of my pickup truck, and these things came after me. Hmm. And I have never, ever felt the fear of being attacked by an animal or a dog. Mm-hmm. And not an animal, but a dog. And these things, and they were coming at me, man, and then they were scratching on the back of my tailgate. And I remember there was a random beer on my back of my truck, man. And I took it and I smashed it on one of these things' heads, and they ran away. That was it. Mm. I mean, black, you know, you say black dogs, but
yeah.
No one in the neighborhood had pit bulls. No one. And I called the police. And I was like, I made a report, and I was like, there's these random weird dogs and this pack of dogs that are trying. And then they were like, you're crazy. And I'm telling you, man, these things were the ugliest, nastiest things I've ever seen in my life. And I don't know if they had red eyes, and I don't remember because I was just so afraid that they were going to kill me.
Yeah, yeah.
This was physical. This wasn't mental.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
I literally had to jump in the back of my truck or they were going to eat me alive.
Wow. Mm.
The other thing is, too, is I grew up with black dogs because we had black lambs my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when you say, oh, did you see black dogs? I'm like, well, yeah.
Every day.
I saw black dogs my whole life,
yeah.
You know. So the one thing was, is I do have a funny story. And I hope after getting out of that, you know, that crazy stuff. Well, I have this one black lab. Her name was Cagney, and she was my favorite dog in the world. And one day I came home from work. I was just eating a little sandwich. And I tell you, swear to God, that dog looked at me and said, that looks good.
What?
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, whether it was mind speak or not, I swear she said it.
Wow.
She said, that looks good. Swear to God, because I remember that. And that was something like I've never told anybody.
Were you a kid when it happened or what?
Yeah, I was a kid. Yeah, I was like maybe 16.
Uh-huh.
Something like that.
That's great, though. That's awesome.
Anyway, so now I'm in North Carolina. So I don't have a lot of crazy stuff. But I do have two experiences that probably are important.
All right.
I had sleep paralysis both times. I had this feeling of seeing both times exactly the same. I had this feeling of this shadow person jumping on me and taking their fists and punching it into my chest. And then I would wake up.
Hmm.
And I wouldn't have sleep paralysis anymore.
Was your chest sore when you woke up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I felt it. It was like, I played football, man. I mean, it was straight up, you know. And it happened at least twice that I remember. besides having never in my life have I had that paralysis again until the last couple of years.
How old are you?
So I went through all that crap, all the stuff I just told you and all that stuff. I never, nothing, you know, I never had sleep paralysis.
Are you in your 40s now, you said?
Yeah, I'm 49.
Okay. Yeah. And this was recently that you had sleep paralysis.
Yeah, this was in the last year.
Yeah, it's that's fairly unusual. I mean, I want to say I had it probably the last time I had it, I was probably in my late 40s, but it was quick. It was over quickly. And before that, I hadn't had it since like my mid 30s, probably. So it had been, you know, at least 10 years or something since the last time. But I don't think I've had it since.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Let me ask you this, because like I said, I'm so far behind. I just listened to me and my wife listen to you with Soraya and I think Michael McCullough when you're talking about your gray experience.
Yeah.
With them running around the room.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Has that happened again?
No. No, that was the last time I saw those things.
Because so my whole thing is that me and you have the exact, kind of, for me, we have the same experience. And then I'm like, all right, so now he's talking about this crazy stuff. I'm like, am I just going to happen to me now?
It was absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I did have a thing where I thought I was getting text from them. It was really weird.
No.
So this was 100% a dream. So I was in West Virginia at a paranormal conference. Chad was with me, and we had like an Airbnb looks like out in a, it was in Morgantown, West Virginia, but we were staying like out in this holler outside of town, which I prefer anyway. But I made a joke when we got there. I said, dude, Bigfoot's going to come out of the woods and knock on the house tonight. You watch. Totally joking.
No,
totally joking. We went and did the conference and we got back, and I remember thinking, like, so my wife sleeps with a light on because of her flannel man experience. She sleeps with a light on. Yeah. So I thought, like, oh, I can sleep with the light off tonight. You know, this will be like a novelty for
me. Best night ever.
So I turn the light off and I get a text in my dream that I don't know how I knew it was from the Grays, but I did. And it was like, it looked different than other texts. It was I think it was like a red and gold kind of look to it. And it said, when you sleep with the light on, you're just avoiding confrontation with us.
No.
And I wake up, and I'm not kidding. I wake up and
did you look at your phone?
I did not. Not right then. But right above my head, as soon as I wake up from the outside of the house, outside wall, there's just a massive thud right on the side of the house. And I was in no mood to go out looking for Bigfoot. I was just like, you know what? I got up. I used the bathroom. I went right back to bed. Went back to sleep. I was like, I am not dealing with this now. But yeah, that was the last time I had, you know, I don't know if that's considered anything from them, but it was bizarre because I had this. They were like acknowledging that I was sleeping with the light off, and then I wake up, and then, bam, right on.
Man, they knew. They're friends with Allison.
Word.
But I have to tell you something. This, like, all right. First of all, I got two more, and then quick.
Okay.
The one is, when I listened to the podcast about the Black Eyed Children, like I said, I'm way behind where you are now. And I listened to that. The Black Eyed Children, I had a nightmare. And I was just like, okay, it scared me but I had three Black Eyed Children in my nightmare corner me and kill me. So then the other night, I'm sleeping, middle of the night, dude, knocking. Can you hear that? Three in a row, right on my window, right next to my bed.
Wow, that's a nope for me.
I was petrified.
So is that something like I'm just sorry to be like annoying,
you can ask.
I just have to ask, like, now that he's more in tune to it, because I always ask him questions. I'm like, you can't just let this go. You need to talk about it. Like, you have to. And so, I'm so happy that you guys are talking, but. Now that he's talking about it more, do they know? I feel like they know that you're more in tune to it now, and like that's why you're hearing the knocking, like last night, the other night.
Yeah. I mean, short answer is I don't know, and nobody knows. But my feeling is yes, And we've described it like in terms of Lord of the Rings, like you put on the ring and the big eye turns and looks at you. So I feel like the more you kind of devote to the stuff, you know, mentally and otherwise, the more you're going to get it.
Yeah.
For better and for worse.
I think it's special, man. I think it's a cool thing. It's terrifying, but it's amazing because... So,
well, introduce yourself.
I'm Chris's Glover. I'm the only one that he's really told about this. And I'm like, I totally believe you. I believe everything about it.
When I told you that I only told three people, she was the first and you're the second about all this stuff. And it's hard to go through life being like, oh, yeah, this crazy stuff happened to me.
Yeah, nobody really believes you. And I'm like, I believe you.
And she did.
Well, yeah, until I started the podcast, I barely ever brought, like, I didn't talk about, like, abduction stuff, like, gray aliens, come on. Like, people laugh you out of the room, or they'll make dumb jokes about, you know, being probed or whatever. So,
all right. I kept but actually, myself. Tim, can I go back to a serious thing?
Sure, yeah.
All right. With, like, you said, and I listened to your, you know, like, the things that you said, like, you all of a sudden you realized they were gray aliens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to realize they're gray aliens. Like, to me, they were just people.
I mean,
and I always want them to think that they're just people.
If that's what you remember, don't let anybody convince you otherwise. You know, for me, it was a matter of like that memory fell away. The original memory of them being surgeons or whatever fell away, and I can't see them as that anymore. But no, I mean, there's no reason to think that they weren't, you know, people or, you know, at least in the forms of people. Yeah.
I always say, I think I'm blessed because I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was too, though.
No, he was in college.
Oh, so the first time you've ever encountered that was in college.
Yeah, although there is, like, when I look back, when I was very young... It's weird because when you were telling your story, Chris, about like
hearing... Well, you said about the witches. I know about the witches.
Yeah. It reminded me of that. So, and I didn't think that was anything other than a recurring dream until I started like getting into this stuff and looking back. And now I just go, I wonder, because I really didn't think I was sleeping. I was awake. You know, I was awake in my bed, scared, covers up over my nose at least, if not over my head for sure. And just thinking like they can't. I just knew, like, they can't hear me, they can't hear me, they can't hear me. So, you know, I wonder if that was something else.
Do your parents know about this or no?
My parents are both deceased and were deceased before I started the podcast and really started, like, writing about this and stuff. So I wish – my mom, I feel like, knew something. Like – there was definitely like, she woke me up when I was 8 years old one time and told me to come out. She like asked me if I wanted to come outside and see a UFO. So, you know, she saw the UFO. And then,
you know, Tim, we just listened to that actually. Yeah.
And then another time I saw a will-o'-the-wisp in an orb in sort of we had a grove down by our barn, just kind of floating through there one night. And I asked my mom, I didn't know what it was. I was just a kid. Yeah. I said, Mom, what is that? What is that? She said, oh, it's just a will-o'-the-wisp. Very calm and very matter-of-fact, to the point where I thought they were like fireflies. I thought it was normal. You know what I mean? She was just like, oh, it's just a will-o'-the-wisp. I wish I could have talked to her about it more, but my mom had MS and she kind of had a rough time with it, and it did affect her mentally. So, you know, by the time I got into this stuff, you know, to the point where I would have been able to, you know, been willing to ask her and talk about it. I don't think she would have remembered much.
We just listened to, actually, like I said, we're so far behind in podcasts that we just listened to that.
Yeah, I probably tell the same stories.
I think it was a Patreon episode, and it was, which I just joined. You're welcome.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much.
No, it's awesome, dude. Cause I didn't realize that. Cause you know, I was like, oh, those are way better.
I try to do, you know, spread the love across the regular show and the patron shows. So,
thank you, man.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks so much for sharing your stories. Wyoming Valley Ghost Tours presents Transcendent Paranormal Conference and Vendor Fair. Saturday, September 17th, 2022, at the Scranton Cultural Center, Scranton, Pennsylvania. Three floors of vendors. Presentations from Jason Halls, Sherry DeBenedetti, The Paranormal Couple, Eric Altman, and Timothy Renner. For more information, email info@WyomingValleyGhostTours.com or go to facebook.com/WyomingValleyGhostTours. That's facebook.com/WyomingValleyGhostTours. So Chris emailed me a couple days after our interview, maybe a week, and said he was having a lot of, like, pretty scary activity in his house, and he asked me if that had ever happened to anybody else I interviewed.
We don't do outro interviews where we say, like, a week later, so did anything scary happen since the interview?
I've had a couple of people contact me and say that, like, talking to us seemed like it stirred some stuff up, but nothing really aggressive. From what he wrote, whatever's going on sounds pretty aggressive, so gave him some advice, and then I didn't hear from him since. So, Chris, if you're listening, I hope it all settled down, and hopefully you can come back on and tell us what happened, because it sounded scary, but it also sounded very interesting.
The double-edged sword of the paranormal.
Right, yeah.
You get and life generally.
This is a CDB.
Tis.
Is it from the UK?
It is. For a while, I was collecting photographs that came from towns where bands I like lived.
That is the most Allison thing I've ever heard. So this one's from Manchester.
It is. I collect Manchester, Liverpool, and Nuneaton, which I'm probably pronouncing wrong.
You know how you say it. However the people that live there say it.
Yeah, and I don't actually know.
So these are twins?
Yes. Or,
brothers,
at least. Yeah, or brothers, at least.
And they're coming to take your soul.
Yeah, they've got sort of like a fancy sort of, they're not exactly a little Lord Fauntleroy, but they've definitely got an aesthetic all around.
It's a foppish Children of the Corn.
It is. I imagine they would just sort of annoy you into submission.
The dates for CDVs in the UK, same as in the US, essentially, when they were making CDVs?
With some slight variations. I've seen some Irish ones that date in a slightly different manner. But this, from the clothing, I would say this is probably more like 1880s.
1880s. It's been a little while since we had a CDV as our curiosity of the week.
Yeah, this one actually has kind of a cool backmark on it, too, with lettering that's all made out of, like, sticks, mm-hmm. which is sort of one of your things I know you've always liked to do. Is there a word for that, probably?
Probably.
Script made out of figural things. These boys are quite cute, quite velvety, and they have striped socks, which was a thing I was collecting for a while, too, because I used to really be into striped tights. So here we go. Now they can be your creepy twins.
All right. There'll be an image of this in the show notes. If you click on that, it'll take you to our Etsy shop, where you can purchase this photo and other curiosities of the week and other old photos Allison has put there. She put quite a few of them up there. Besides that, we have Strange Familiars t-shirts. We have my books. If you order them from Etsy, they come signed. You don't even have to ask. I sign them before I pack them up and send them out. It's the only place you can get my art book, Apparitions, Illustrations of the Other, because I have not figured out how to get distribution for that yet. Etsy is our distribution, I suppose. You can grab that on Etsy and lots of other stuff there as well. Our shop name is Lost Grave, but if you type in Strange Familiars, you should see our stuff come up. While you're on Etsy, make sure to check out our friends at Karmic Garden. And Chad has a shop on there, too. It's called Ruck Rabbit Outdoors.
Everybody's got an Etsy shop.
It's the cool place to be.
Remember the days when you could just, like, stick an international reply coupon on something and just put some cash in the mail, and then 7.5 months later, something from another country would come back to you, or the catalog so that you could purchase something and another 7 months would go by.
So long that you've forgotten that you've ordered it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember it well. Should we talk about the new t-shirts?
I think we should.
So I did something. I ordered a bunch of new t-shirts. Now, they're the Awoken Tree design, the logo for the podcast, the tree with the eye, that you all know and hopefully love. But these, in the great tradition of uranium glass and all the other glow-in-the-dark stuff.
In 1970s Death of Richie era Richie Room.
That's a deep cut. These are glow-in-the-dark. You can charge them up in the light, in the sunlight. You know how glow-in-the-dark stuff works. And you turn it out and then it'll glow. You'll have a glow-in-the-dark Strange Familiar shirt. I think these are going to be limited. We made them basically for my upcoming appearances. We'll put them on Etsy as well. So if you want a glow-in-the-dark Strange Familiar shirt, they are coming. I think we should have them by maybe the last week of September, first week of October. If you're coming to Albert Switch Day, we'll have them there.
I just imagine like a Strange Familiars fashion show and this sort of like lumbering, very slow walking Bigfoot in the shirt gets to the end of the runway and like does the patty turn and then goes back the other way, which is kind of what models do generally.
Right.
So you could layer, you could do the Strange Familiar shirt with a red and black flannel over top.
You absolutely could.
That's got a Chad, that's like a Chad look.
Mm-hmm. We unfortunately probably won't have the glow-in-the-dark shirts for my appearance at Transcendent, but please come and see me anyway because I'll have my books there. That will be in Scranton, Pennsylvania at the Scranton Cultural Center on September 17th. This is coming up soon. I will be at Transcendent. I am giving a talk there on Toad Road and the Seven Gates of Hell, I guess.
I heard that you're next to the Dunder Mifflin booth.
I might be. We will definitely have the glow-in-the-dark shirts on October 8th for Albert Witch Day, though, in Columbia, Pennsylvania at the Columbia Riverfront. I will be speaking there as well. I don't know what I'm going to be speaking about. I'll figure it out. It'll be good, I promise. I'll make it
that's a good home talk. Turf, though.
That's, yeah, exactly.
That's a home game.
Exactly. Yeah, I might do something in the Witch Cloud. I'm not sure. I'll talk about something on Albert Witch Day, but we will have glow-in-the-dark Strange Familiars t-shirts there as well. So come out and see me. I am no longer appearing at the Wunderkammer thing in Gettysburg, so I will not be speaking there. But if you want to see me, my two in-person appearances this year so far are Transcendent, September 17th in Scranton, Pennsylvania, at the Scranton Cultural Center, and Albert Witch Day, October 8th in Columbia, Pennsylvania, at the Columbia Riverfront. There's another thing I'm doing. I think it's a private event, though. I'll announce it if I can towards the end of October. I'll find out if people are allowed to come to that, and I'll announce that if I can. Otherwise, my schedule is open. So if you want me to appear at your paranormal conference, give me a shout.
Dance card not yet full.
Dance card not full at all. I had originally overbooked myself for the fall here, but I think I thinned it out. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back soon with more Strange Familiars.
We live our entire lives knowing that death awaits us. Many believe that some part of us endures. Eyewitnesses swear to have seen spirits of the dead haunting the living, and even appearing during alien abductions. Is the UFO mystery reaching out to us from beyond the stars, or from beyond the grave? This staggering implication demands not only scrutiny of the UFO phenomenon, but near-death experiences, ancient monuments, ley lines, the fae folk, cryptids, and more. I'm Joshua Cutchin. I'd like to invite you into the Ecology of Souls, a new mythology of death and the paranormal, a comprehensive theory of all things supernatural framed through the lens of our final transition. Join me as we journey from the depths of prehistory to the present, from the outer space of the cosmos to the inner space of the self. Ecology of Souls, Volumes 1 and 2, now available from Amazon in print and as a combined ebook. Welcome to the Ecology of Souls.
Are you fascinated by UFOs, the occult, strange history, and more? On October 14th through the 16th at SIR Nashville, the Strange Realities Conference 2022 will take place. 3 days of exploring the mysteries of the supernatural, history, UFOs, the occult, and much, much more. Featuring presentations by Steve Berg, Micah Hanks, John Tinney, Adam Gilrightly, Tim Banal, Christopher Ernst, Samantha Engel, Recluse, Nathan Isaac, Melody Blackthorne, Dr. Future, Soraya Askath, Timothy Ritter, Aaron Gullius, Delaney Bowers, Olaf Phillips, and David Metcalf, with workshops by Kiki Dombrowski, Ren Collier, and Michael Hughes. Come join us in Nashville or online. Tickets are available at strangerealitiesconference.com. Find out what everyone is talking about.
Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Holler Arts, music, books, art, podcasts, and more. Intro and background music is by Stone Breath. If you want to hear more or purchase music by Stone Breath, you can go to stonebreath.bandcamp.com. Strange Familiars is on Facebook, facebook.com/strangefamiliars. We're on Instagram, at Strange Familiars, one word. And you can find us on the web at 3ws.strangefamiliars.com. Thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.